It's good to see you this morning. There we go. So when I knew I was going to be preaching kind of the New Year's sermon, I started thinking about and praying through what where I might go with that. And one of the things that Joe, Tom, and I had talked about, well, let's just, during this next little time, and it's going to be kind of weird in the preaching stuff. We normally go through books. We're going to be moving into the building, so there's going to be all these little kind of things that don't fit around a book. And Joe will tell you all about that a little bit later, but there's going to be just some sermons that stand alone, so we're just going to preach some from our heart. And one of the things that hit me, just cut me quick, was something Joe had preached out of 1 John several weeks ago. This is out of 1 John 5. You don't need to turn there yet. I just want to read this to you. And this is the confidence that we have toward Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. And if we know that He hears us in whatever we ask, we know that we have the request that we have asked of Him. And since Joe preached on that and preached on praying in God's will, just prayer has been on my heart. One of the things that Joe, Tom, and I wanted to focus on this year was our own prayer lives and our church, being a praying church. And I'll confess, I don't think that I've taken that as seriously as I need to. And as I looked at my life and heard that verse, it convicted me. And so my plan was to kind of pray through some of those things and have some things to share out of that. And what I've realized is this sermon's going to be more, here's what I think I need to do, than here's what I've been doing. And I confess that to you. But this is what the Lord has put on my heart, is just to talk about prayer. And as I developed this sermon and wrote some things out, it's not a big theological treatise on prayer. This is not a time. We're actually going to go through just one passage. We could have gone through Ephesians chapter 1. What Joe just read was Paul's prayer. I got to tell you, I don't pray like that. I sure wish I did, but I don't pray like that. We could go through that passage, and I just had the thought, no, it's the Sunday before New Year's. I don't know about you, but we have been eating like nobody's business. I'm still on, you know, carb just drain here. Let's just talk about, what does Scripture say about praying? Just a bunch of different scriptures. And let's just get some really practical, hey, let's sink our teeth into this. Here's something I can apply this week and improve my prayer life. So that's what we're going to do. This is not a typical Providence sermon. It is 10 practical tips to pray. That's what it is. But that's where we're going to go today. And we're just going to read a lot of scriptures. So I wrote these out, had the scriptures. And my plan Monday, I took the day off. I was just going to meditate on these scriptures. And here's what happened. 6:30, the alarm didn't go off. My son did. And he threw up. Bless his heart. We've been going, he's trying to figure it out. I think he's better now. It wasn't a sickness. It was just his stomach wasn't quite settled. So 6:30, you know, we're cleaning up the vomit, trying to cuddle him. He's my cuddler. I tell you, there ain't nobody cuddles better than Nathan. He's my cuddler, so we're cuddling him. So that's 6:30. So get him cleaned up, clothes off, take him downstairs, and he has overflowed his diaper. So not only did the shirt come off from the throw up, his pants came off because they were soaked, and it was a wet overflowing diaper. I don't know how he pulled that one off. I'm not sure, but he did. So we get that, start getting him cleaned up. Emma comes downstairs, and guess what? Yeah, she's overflowed the diaper too. So clean that one up, and I've got a new diaper on Nathan. So he's running around naked other than a diaper. I haven't got clothes for him yet. Get Emma cleaned up. We're ready to go, and I smell something. Yeah, he'd overflowed the new diaper. Okay, diaper number 3. So then we had the great oatmeal incident of 2013, is what we're determining this thing. My kids love oatmeal. They eat it great. So Emma asked for oatmeal. We fix oatmeal. My son is a full contact eater. I mean, that's just you know, he's just a kid. That's what he does. So he's eating. And I don't know how he got oatmeal this far from the tip, but he did. So we're cleaning up the oatmeal. And then I go to work on my dissertation. And some of y'all know I have this thing about coffee where I hate it. And when I say I hate it, I mean I hate it. So I went to Starbucks to get some quiet. I was going to work on the dissertation, read over the sermon notes about prayer. So far today, I haven't prayed. And I get there, and they hand me my chai latte. And I start to take a drink, and I got this whiff. It was not a chai latte. I said, are you sure? total coffee, iced coffee. So we go through that. Just one of those days, it's crazy. So I'm going, I've worked on the dissertation, still haven't even touched it. Go to the grocery store because my wife comes up with this awesome, it was Sherry Gunner's recipe, your little bacon wrapped cracker. Love them. She says, if you'll go get bacon, I'll do that. At the bacon aisle. This is a good thing in my book. I mean, there's nothing bad that's going to happen on the bacon aisle, right? So I'm getting the bacon, and it was at a local store here, getting the bacon, and while I'm doing that, a stalker has come out, and he's got like this cart. It's about that tall off the ground, and he's got a pile here of boxes, and a pile here of boxes, and then a big open space. And he pulled that thing right over the entry or the aisleway. And the boxes on one side, boxes on the other side. I turn around, first step, I'm over the cart. Big old bruise on my shin. I mean, I'm laying on the floor trying to hold on to my bacon. And it hurt. I mean, it hurt. The thought in my head was not pray. Let's just put it like that. I hold my tongue. And I'm driving home thinking, okay, this is going to be the worst sermon on prayer ever. I haven't even thought about prayer yet. And that's when it hit. God had been giving me calls to prayer all morning long. You know, we need to pray in the quiet. We need to set aside times if it's a job change or a move or a, you know, those big, huge life decisions. We need to set aside time for that and pray and be quiet and get into a closet, maybe fast, whatever it might be. But the sermon today is not going to be that kind of prayer. The sermon today is going to be about the daily, in the grind, tripping over the stock cart, worried about your son, not sure why. It's that kind of prayer we're going to talk about. How do we get better at that kind of, every day, day in, day out, when it's rough, when it's great? How do we improve our prayer life in that? So we're going to open to a lot of scriptures, but we're going to start in the Psalms. And you might kind of just keep a finger there. That's where we're going to be a lot of the time. We're going to start at Psalm 120. And these are songs that people used to pray. So your first point is pray Scripture. I lived just at the verses, Psalms 120 through 134 there. These are called the Psalms of Ascent. When people were walking up to Jerusalem to worship, this was what they would be singing. And this is the psalm I read as I was blessed to drive up to Jerusalem. I'm very grateful I didn't have to walk. When I say up, I mean it's up. You're going up a mountain. And I'm looking around, and they had left the remnants of the wars on that road. You could look over, and there's a tank that's half blown up. Or there's a personnel carrier, and they've actually painted them where you can see them. It was one of the memorials to the people who lost their lives there. And as I read this, I thought about the men and women who would have walked up there to worship. In all the troubles of their life, wars, like Hannah hurting over no baby. And this is one of the psalms they would sing, Psalm 120. In my distress, I called out to the Lord, and He answered me. Deliver me, O Lord, from lying lips and a deceitful tongue. And one of the things I began to learn at that time there in Jerusalem and many times since is when you don't know what to pray, when the circumstance is too big, too crazy, too good, when you don't know what to pray, open up Scripture and just pray the Scripture. If you don't know what words to speak, in my distress, I call to you, Lord, and you answer me. Do you see the faith in that? Sometimes when we're lacking faith, do you see we can pray the Scripture? And remember that song of the 1 John, if we pray in the Lord's will? Guess what? If we're interpreting Scripture right and we pray it, you know what we're going to be in? Lord's will. It's guaranteed. This is from God Himself. And so sometimes when we want to pray and we don't know how to pray, open up the Scriptures. Open up the Scriptures. Let me continue on. Sometimes we just pray them out loud. In my distress, I called to the Lord and He answered me. Deliver me, O Lord, for lying lips, from a deceitful tongue. Have you ever felt like you needed to pray that prayer at work? Or maybe with some friends who've deceived you? What shall be given to you, and what more shall be done to you, you deceitful tongue? A warrior's sharp arrows with glowing clothes and a broom tree? Woe to me that I sojourn in Meshech, that I dwell among the tents of Kedar. Have you ever wanted to pray, Lord, I just feel like I'm in the middle of a mess. Whether it's my town, my country, my business, my family, my whatever, I'm in the middle of this and I don't know what to do. This is what they prayed. It says, too long have I had my dwelling among those who hate peace. You ever felt like those are the folks around you? Listen to this. I am for peace, but they speak for war. And he continues praying. I lift my eyes up to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. They were praying. Just as they sang these songs, Lord, here's what's going on. And when you don't know what to pray, when you want to improve your prayer, go to Scripture. I've listed a lot here. Philippians 4:8, it's kind of a different kind of Scripture to pray. These you can just read to the Lord. Maybe switch some words like Meshech and Kedar. I didn't even look up where those places were, but I don't know. They're not where I'm at. But pray them directly to the Lord. But Philippians 4:8 says this, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Well, thinking about those things is prayer. What is true? Remember, I'm the children's pastor. This is interactive. What is true? What is the one thing in the world that we know to be true? Scripture and Jesus. Jesus declared, I am the truth. The truth. So when we're praying, Lord, help me think about what things are true. May we reflect on Jesus. Jesus, you are true. Whatever is noble, most noble human being that has ever lived. Who is it? Jesus. Whatever is true, whatever is noble, what is right? Who was the only one who actually did things right? Christ. Do you see how Scripture can drive you to prayer? It may not be you read word for word, but take that Scripture and pray through that Scripture. Jesus, this is you. Lord, I'm not true. I'm not right. I've sinned. But you are right. Forgive me. So pray Scripture. That's the first one. By the way, not all of them are going to be that long. But next, pray specifically. And I want to turn back to Ephesians chapter 3. And you can turn there if you can. Ephesians chapter 3. Keep a finger here because we're going to read a couple verses now and a couple verses later. I want to read another prayer of Paul. We read one just before the sermon. But Paul says, for this reason I bow my knees for the Father, for whom every family on heaven and earth is named. Are you ready? Get this prayer. He's praying for the people in Ephesus. He's praying for some friends. That according to the riches of His glory, He may grant you to be strengthened with power through His Spirit in your inner being. So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, to know the love of Christ that surpasses all knowledge, that you may be filled with the fullness of God. I gotta tell you, I'd sure like it if somebody prayed that prayer for me. Pray specifically. Paul didn't just say, I hope they feel good and grow spiritually. And he got in there and he prayed for them. They need to know about your love, God. Teach them how high it is. Teach them how long. Just blow their minds with your love. And he kept going and going. He prayed for them. He prayed very specifically for them. So pray specifically. Third thing, pray worshipfully. We're going to flip back, and many of you may even have this memorized, Psalms 148. Psalms 149, 150, says things like this. Psalms 148, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord from the heavens. Praise Him from the height. Praise Him, all His angels. Praise Him, all His host. And it continues on. We're going to skip down to it a little bit later in verse 13 here in just a second. But prayer is to be focused on praising and worshiping God. When we sing the songs that we sing, what are they but a really pretty sounding prayer? How He loves us. How You love us, God. Can we pray that? We want to pray worshipfully. If there's a song in your heart, and you sing like me, go somewhere away from people, but sing it. Sing it out. Sing this as a prayer to God. Pray worshipfully. But look down in verse 13. of Psalms 148. It says, "Let them praise the name of the Lord." He's talking about the peoples, the kings of the earth, everyone everywhere. "For His name alone is exalted. His majesty is above the heavens." He praises God. He praises and worships for who God is. He is a great, majestic, beautiful God. And it doesn't matter if you're at the highest of highs or the lowest of lows. God is still majestic and glorious. And so when we come in prayer, we come to worship. We come to speak how wonderful He is to us. But then look at verse 14. "He has raised up a horn for His people." That's a victory. That's a strength for His people, a ruler for His people. "Praise for His saints, for the people of Israel who are near Him. Praise the Lord." In other words, He's done something for us. Not only is He great and majestic, but He's done something for me. He saved me. He's done something for you. He saved you. He loves you. He has brought you out of the depths. He paid for your sins. He lived a perfectly righteous life. He stands ready to welcome you. About apologize to the furniture there. That would have been kind of funny. But we stand and we worship when we pray. So pray worshipfully. Pray specifically. Pray Scripture. But the fourth thing, and this is one of the ones that's hard, but so, so important. Pray in your battle with sin. Turn with me to Psalm 51. We're going to get those new Bibles you got for Christmas broke in today here. Psalm 51. This is David after he has committed adultery and murder. Here's what he says to God. "Have mercy to me, O God, according to your steadfast love. According to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. Wash me from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgression and my sin is ever before me. Against you and you only have I sinned and done evil, what is evil in your sight. So that you may be justified in your words and blameless in your judgment. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, you delight in truth in the inward being, and you teach me wisdom in the secret heart. Purge me with hyssop." That was a branch that they used at the Passover to spread the blood. "And I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you have broken rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me with a willing spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways and sinners will return to you." Excuse me. Pray in your battle with sin. Whether you've committed the sin, the call is to prayer, or you're in the midst of the battle with sin, prayer is where we go. You see, I know a lot of you, and I know myself even better, we're not strong enough to withstand sin in and of ourselves. But Christ is. Christ fills us. He gives us His Holy Spirit. And the way we commune with Him is prayer. So if you've already sinned, let me talk about that for just a second. We come to God in repentance. We come in confidence knowing that Christ has paid for the sin. So we're not coming in terror and fear, but we are coming in conviction. We have sinned. Did you hear David's words? "Against you, God, I have sinned. I've committed adultery. You have done all these things to me to discipline me. You're right to do them." He comes with that conviction of sin. But he doesn't just stay at that conviction level. It moves on. He then asks for cleansing. "Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow." He doesn't stay at that just conviction kind of writhing in guilt. He confesses what he's done. "Lord, I have sinned against you. Please cleanse me." And then where does he go after the cleansing? To joy. Do you catch this? He's praying about his sin, his horrible sins, and he talks about joy. You see, repentance is not complete. Repentance is a rejection of sin and a turning away from sin. Yes, that involves conviction, but it doesn't end there. It's a turning to God. It's a turning to Christ and His forgiveness. So look what he says. Christ says in verse 12, restore to me the joy of my salvation. Uphold me with a willing spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways and sinners will return to you. In other words, I'm going to go talking about what God has forgiven me from. This is such a good thing that I'm going to have a heart of joy. I'm going to go tell everybody about it. That's usually not how we treat our sin, by the way, right? Listen to what Jesus just forgave me of. Maybe if we were that honest with folks who are lost, most of whom probably think we're hypocrites anyway, maybe if that were my witness, I really got angry, but God forgave me. He'll forgive you too. That's how we pray when we have sin. But pray when we're about to sin or when we're struggling with sin. Sometimes those temptations are great, and the problem is, guess what? We want to. Otherwise, the temptation wouldn't be great. If I was tempted, you know, if broccoli were declared a sin and I was tempted to eat it, it wouldn't be a hard sin to resist. I'm not wild about the stuff. You know, now somebody put some kind of dressing on broccoli over Christmas. It was really good. It's the first time I think I've ever liked broccoli. But anyway, we're tempted to sin because we want to. We like how it feels, whether it be to worry, to get angry. Whatever it is that, you know, that sin that always grabs you, you know why it keeps grabbing you? Because you like it. That sin needs to be replaced with something you love. Jesus Christ. God the Father. His glory, His majesty, His righteousness. So when you're battling that sin, turn your affections to Christ and pray. A great, great preacher who was really hard to understand but amazingly wise said we have to replace our affections. Not affections for sin anymore, but affections for Christ. That's how we do battle with sin. So pray in your battle to sin. Pray worshipfully. Pray specifically. Pray Scripture. Pray for pastors and missionaries. Pray for pastors and missionaries. Pray for the pastors and staff of Providence. We really need it. We're a bunch, the pastors here, Tom's the oldest, and he's, what, late 30s. Think about that. I don't know why God put us here and why God, but He did. Pray for us. Pray for your staff. I got to tell you, there are two of the hardest people, working people I know on this planet are Debbie Nolan and Chad Hunter. Man, these two, Chad works two jobs. This is his second job. This is the first Sunday he hasn't led worship and been here in I don't know how long. By the way, our students in college and high school, you guys did a great job this morning. We appreciate y'all leading worship for us. And in all seriousness, thank you for giving Chad a break because he works hard for us. And Debbie Nolan, good night. She works so hard, folks. Pray for us because we can really goof stuff up. Pray for us, please. But not only that, pray for missionaries. There are folks serving all over this planet. I don't know if y'all remember the very first Lottie Moon video that we showed. It was Tom Eliff walking around talking about folks in Southeast Asia. You know who the missionary was to those folks? His daughter and son-in-law. And he's got 6 grandkids living over there. Do you think he's motivated to pray for those folks? Do you think maybe some of what we saw was because a godly man prays for missionaries? I'm confident it is. And our problem is we don't have those connections. And someday in Providence, we're going to have all those connections because we're going to be sending y'all out. Maybe I'll go. Who knows? But folks, until then, we need to make connections with missionaries and we need to pray. Get to the IMB website, imb.org. They have a daily prayer chart. It pops up right when you see it. You can pray for a people group. You probably can't pronounce their name, but God knows who they are. That's kind of one of those deals. It gives you some things to pray about. It gives you some missionaries who have given specific prayer requests. Pray for us that the car starts this morning. We're having trouble with the car. There's no mechanics for whoever knows how many hundreds of miles. There's prayer requests like that right now that you and I need to pray for. Pray for missionaries. Listen to what Jesus said. This is in Matthew. Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. Oh, excuse me. I skipped one. I'm sorry. Ephesians chapter 6. Let's try that. Ephesians chapter 6. Verse 18. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. Here's what Paul said. This is what Paul, the godly man, the guy who knew how to pray, here's what he requests. Praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayers and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all persevering, making supplication for all the saints. In other words, pray for the whole church. But here's what he says. And pray also for me, that words may be given to me in the opening of my mouth, boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I'm an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. So he's chained up in prison and he says, pray for my preaching. And pray that I'd actually get bold about my preaching. I mean, think about the irony of this. He's chained up for preaching. He says, really pray. I'm not very bold in my preaching. Pray for me to get bold in my preaching. Let me ask you, pray every week for whoever's going to be up here preaching. Pray for your Bible study teachers. Pray for your kids' Bible study teachers. All right, let me put the children's pastor hat on. Pray for your kids' Bible study teachers. They work hard, and guess what? They get tired. We all know how wild our kids are. They got like 20 of them, it seems like. It probably seems like 20 million. They've got a bunch of kids back there. Pray for them. Pray that they would boldly proclaim the gospel to your kids. Pray for Joe week in, week out as he sets his preaching schedule. Pray for all of us. Please, please pray for all of us. So pray for pastors and missionaries. Pray in your battle of sin. But let's skip down and get even more specific. They're in Ephesians 3. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. I know we're skipping back and forth, but it just made more sense to skip around with this. Pray for providence. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. Listen to this. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than we ever ask or think. So in other words, he's got the power to do anything beyond what you can even grasp. And listen to what he says. According to the power that is work within us. That's amazing in and of itself. God's power working in us. To him be glory in the church. And in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Paul prayed that God would work and show us more than we even dream that he's planning in the church. Folks, we've had kind of a 5 years that is just a constant call to prayer. Prayer because we don't have a building. We need someplace to meet. God gives us sunset. Call, you know, we really need to probably buy some land. We have this no-interest loan. We can get the money. We need someplace that we can permanently be. And guess what? God provided it. We need to pay off the land. And guess what? God provided it. So we get all these calls to prayer. And suddenly, pray for everybody to show up this morning to set up because we need lots and lots of help. All those things. If we stop praying and we kind of shut the machine down for 1 week, guess what happens? We can play basketball when everybody shows up. I mean, that's the option. It's a constant. It keeps us on our toes in prayer. We're about to move in that building up there, and it's gorgeous. I hope y'all got to see it Christmas Eve. Man, it's pretty. I cannot wait to make no more posters and glue them to boards so I can stop doing this every time I try to teach the kids, you know, a new song or a Bible verse or something. I mean, we're going to have a screen. If we shut the prayer down, if we're not desperate in prayer when we move into that building, guess what? It was all for naught. Pray for providence. Pray for unity. Pray for growth. Pray that we would grow both in number and in depth. Pray that we would grow in our community. Pray that we would keep our focus. Pray for our leaders. Pray for our financial situation. Pray for our moving in the building. Oh, please, pray for our moving in the building. It's going to be crazy, okay? I mean, let me just get you all ready. It's going to be nuts. Joe's going to give you all the details. But man, get ready, okay? Pray for providence. Number 7, pray for those who do not yet believe and for gospel witnesses to them. Now let's switch over to Matthew. I just want to read you the words of Jesus here. It says it all. And Jesus went throughout all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every disease and affliction. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, because they were harassed and helpless. By the way, by whom were they harassed? Think about that. Their sin was so bad, Christ called it harassment. They were harassed, like sheep without a shepherd. And he said to the disciples, catch this, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly. Do you hear what Jesus says? Pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Every day, your prayer life should include praying for folks who don't know Jesus yet. By the way, I know we have a lot of guests here. Thank y'all for coming. Again, this is not kind of typical Sunday. But some of y'all may not know, hey, what are you talking about, this prayer thing, this whole Jesus thing? That's great. I've read the Bible before, not sure what that's at. That's okay. Pray about that. Ask God to show you who He is. Ask God to show you His gospel, that Jesus came, lived a perfect life, God the Son, and a human at the same time, lived a perfect life, died for our sins, rose again, and calls everyone everywhere to trust in Him and repent. Pray that God would make that real to you and you would believe it. But listen to this, for the rest of us, pray that God would send out workers in the harvest. Pray for your lost friends. Pray for your lost family. Pray for your lost co-workers. Pray for your lost neighbors. And pray for them by name. And do you know what? When we're praying for them, guess what? We're probably going to be a whole lot more apt to love them and then to share a witness with them. Pray for those who don't believe and pray for gospel witnesses to them. Number 8, pray honestly. That goes without saying. If that's something that you struggle to really bear your soul before God, let me challenge you to read those scriptures. But God knows it already. We know that in our heads. But if you're really hurting, bear that hurt out to Christ. Who could listen better than someone who actually understands it? I've never walked in your shoes. I mean, I can understand a little bit. I can have some compassion. But Christ actually knows it. To bear our souls to Him. Pray honestly. Number 9, pray godly people's prayers. Every week we publish something in the bulletin. You'll see it over on the right-hand side of the bulletin as you open it up. It's a godly man or woman's prayer. It's from almost every week, and ironically, this week it's not. It's from a book called The Valley of Vision. This were Puritans, folks over in England, and it's got the Shakespeare language and all that. But, man, there's some depth there that I don't have in my prayer life. And sometimes just to open it up, and if you get that book, let me challenge you to get that book, Valley of Vision. It's printed there in your sermon guide. If you don't know how to pray about I'm hurting, if you don't know how to pray about I've sinned, if you don't know how to pray about it's just a normal morning, there's actually a prayer in that Valley of Vision called morning. I mean, that works for Monday, doesn't it? You know? It's great, and you can do this. And this isn't mind-numbing. No, it's personalizing this. It's praying this to God, not just reading it, but praying it to God. So pray godly people's prayers. It might be a godly person like, I don't know, Chris Tomlin, who's got a song that you can sing it as a prayer. It might be a godly person like John Newton, who wrote Amazing Grace that we're going to sing here in just a few moments. Pray that as a prayer to God. Maybe it expresses what you can't figure out how to express yourself. But finally, make prayer a natural part of your day. Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians 5:17. I really goofed up this prayer this scripture passage when I was younger. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, one of those great verses, 3 words long. Pray without ceasing. You know, I made this verse a legalist verse. I really goofed it up. I mean, I tried to pray without ceasing. So I didn't stop. You know, walking around, walking into walls. I'd ask for forgiveness when I fell asleep, when I woke up, because I stopped praying. That's not what this verse is talking about. That's not it. It's saying your prayer life never stops. If you're driving down the road and you see an ambulance, do you know what that is? It's a call to prayer. One of the most godly men I've ever met in my life taught me that. Take a moment and pray. Pray for the people driving the ambulance. Pray for whoever's hurt. Pray for their salvation. We don't know. Thank God for your safety. You're not the one the ambulance is coming to. When you see the Facebook posts, there were some today that were a call to prayer. Pray! Don't just say, oh, I ought to pray about that. Pray! Stop. Take a moment and pray. If it's a moment of quiet, I've heard those sometimes exist somewhere out there in the future. Pray. What could be more peaceful, more refreshing than communing with God Himself? If it's a financial hardship, it's a financial blessing. Someone speaks a harsh word to you, whatever it might be, turn that into a call to prayer. Pray without ceasing. And then suddenly, when you have that Monday, it's a Monday of prayer. It's not foreign to prayer. It doesn't keep prayer from happening. It's an invitation to prayer. When someone comes to you and they give you the news, stop and pray with them. This is how we learn to walk with God. Remember that language that Paul uses? It's such a great way of putting it. Walking with God. Just every step. That doesn't mean every second of every day we're walking off the stage praying. But that we're always ready. Because guess what? Because of Christ's provision, because Christ died for your sins and made an entrance into heaven, the writer of Hebrews said, we come boldly before the throne of God. That's how we live. So let me challenge you. There's a lot more scriptures than we read here. I did that very intentionally. Pick two, three, I don't know, one, if they weren't any good, of these points. Apply them this week. Read those scriptures. Get into God's Word. Let Him convict you of it, and may 2014 be a year we pray. We don't just talk about prayer. We pray. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Then we're going to worship. We're going to sing. If you need to come down, talk to Joe or I. We'll be here. We'd love to share more about the gospel message with you. We'd love to pray with you. Maybe it's just, let's pray. If you want to come down here, and this isn't obviously ideal, there's steps here, and kneel. If you want to kneel at a chair, just spend some time in prayer and come before God the Father. By the grace of His glorious Son, led by His Holy Spirit, and pray. God, we come. Lord, speak to us, change us. May we truly become a praying people. Lord, help me as I want so dearly to grow in my prayer life, to commune with You. To enjoy You, Lord, to worship You. And Lord, out of that I might lead others to do the same, God. Pray for folks here that You would work in them as well. Stir our hearts, God, in Jesus' name.